open this second session of our class in 2 Peter chapter 1, if you'd like to turn there. Thankful that Bruce and Tom invited me out to help out with this class, and it's certainly, as Bruce mentioned to us, it's very vital information for all of us, that there needs to be the balance of the Word of God and the Spirit of God in our life. And how wonderful it is that God gave us the Word as the instruction manual for how the Spirit operates. So we can come to the Word today, and we're going to end tomorrow, and we're going to learn about how these manifestations of God operate, how we can operate them in our lives. Because if God doesn't tell us, then what are we going to go by? We might go by someone else's experiences, or we might go by, you know, something that, we have tried, and, you know, trial and error. But really, if we want dependable information on the operation and the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, we're going to get it from God's Word. And God does give us very clear instruction, as we'll see. Now, as we get into this second session, we're going to take a look, kind of a summary of the utterance manifestations or the worship manifestations. Many of you have had instruction in these manifestations and have operated them in your life. But it's a good place for us to start because it's something that we're all more familiar with. But prior to the day of Pentecost, and we know that the day of Pentecost is when the Church of God was brought about after Christ had come and redeemed mankind. But prior to the day of Pentecost, there were six manifestations of Holy Spirit that were available for people that had the Spirit upon to operate. As Bruce covered, the revelation manifestations of word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits were in operation prior to Pentecost. Also, the impartation manifestations of believing, gifts of healings, and workings of miracles are also very much demonstrated throughout the Old Testament and the Gospels. But there were three manifestations that are new with Pentecost. They are the utterance manifestations. Now, as a point of clarification, and this has been a stumbling block for some, there are in the Bible two different types of prophecy. Bruce handled 2 Peter chapter 1, and this is our starting point in session 2. It says in verse 20, "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." Very evidently, this prophecy was available in old time. In other words, prior to Pentecost, in the Old Testament days. When Moses wrote down Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, he wrote down prophecy. That's what it's referred to here. The prophecy of the Scripture came in old time. He wrote down what God calls prophecy. Now, how did Moses receive that prophecy? By revelation. So this very clearly, and Bruce handled this in our opening session, this is prophecy by revelation. In other words, it's prophecy that comes by word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and or discerning of spirits. Prophecy by revelation. That existed prior to Pentecost. This is not the same as the manifestation of prophecy. And this is a distinction that needs to be made, and some people haven't made this distinction. It's to their detriment. I'll show you an example of prophecy prior to Pentecost. Luke chapter 1. If it's prophecy prior to Pentecost, it's prophecy by revelation. In Luke chapter 1 is the wonderful record of the angel appearing unto Mary and Mary believing God's word, Mary conceiving Jesus Christ. And it says that after the angel departed, in verse 39, that Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. Now, Elizabeth is her cousin. She goes, after she gets pregnant, she goes up into the hill country to be with Zacharias and Elizabeth. She's there for about 3 months. It's a very wonderful place for her to go because of how wonderful Zacharias and Elizabeth are. They're wonderful, spirit-filled believers, as we'll see. Verse 41, "And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit." Now, who's the babe that leaped in Elizabeth's womb? Anybody know? John the Baptist. "But Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb." Now, who's she speaking this to? Mary. But where are the words coming from? God. Yeah, it's got to be revelation. Why? Because it's very specific to Mary, isn't it? I mean, how does she even know about the fruit of her womb being blessed? Because God revealed it to her. It says, "And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" How did she know that this would be the mother of her Lord? By revelation. And says, "For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord." How did she know that information? She wasn't there when the angel Gabriel came and talked to Mary. How did she know that there would be a performance of those things that Gabriel had said to her? By revelation. See, this is a wonderful example of a believer blessing another believer by revelation. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom. It was a wonderful bit of information given to Elizabeth to help encourage Mary. Mary responds, verse 46, "My soul doth magnify the Lord. And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. And he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed." Again, revelation specific to Mary's life. Mary is responding, speaking by the Spirit. "For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy in his name, holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts." And then it goes on, verse 56, "And Mary abode with her about 3 months and then returned to her own house." If you've worked through the chronology of this, she returns to her own house so that she can get married to Joseph. But boy, could you think of what a wonderful fellowship that must have been for Zacharias, Elizabeth, and Mary, who were operating the Spirit of God. Now, what were they operating? They were operating revelation. There's a record I have in the notes from 1 Samuel chapter 10. We're not going to take the time this morning to read it, but you can. It's the record where the Spirit is upon Saul, and Saul is called among the prophets. Well, what marks out the prophets in the Old Testament is their operation of the revelation manifestations, of them speaking words of revelation from God to help and bless other people. These six manifestations are abundantly demonstrated throughout the Old Testament and the Gospels. In fact, if you'll notice, the great majority of what we're going to teach here is on these six manifestations. If you notice, basically our class is going to be spent in the Old Testament and in the Gospels. Why are we going to spend the next 2 days in that section of the Scripture? Because that's where God gives the instruction of how these six manifestations are to operate. There's not a whole lot in the New Testament explaining the operation of the Revelation manifestations. There's some, but there's not a lot. There's not a lot in the New Testament explaining the operation of the impartation manifestation. There's some, but there's not a lot. But you know where there is a lot? In the Old Testament and in the Gospels. Because those manifestations were in operation prior to Pentecost. But with the gift of Holy Spirit, God gives additional ability. God gave us an additional source of blessing when we get born from above. And you know what that additional ability is? Is the ability to operate the utterance manifestation. Look at Acts chapter 2, please. Now, the one section of Scripture in the Bible that explains in detail the operation of the utterance manifestation is 1 Corinthians 12, 13, particularly chapter 14. Why does God give such detailed explanation in the New Testament for those manifestations and not for the other six? Because they've already been explained. Another way of considering it is that when you speak in tongues and interpret, or when you prophesy, who are those words for? Who are those words given to? To the church. Well, when did the church come into existence? On the day of Pentecost. If those manifestations are to the church, how can you give those manifestations to a group that has yet to come into existence? Well, Acts chapter 2. On the great day of Pentecost, after the 12 have seen these, the sign of the cloven tongues like as a fire, and there's a sound from heaven that filled all the temple area where they're sitting as of a rushing mighty wind. And then in verse 4, it says, "And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit." See, all 12 apostles were filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, as Bruce shared, Holy Spirit was available to some prior to Pentecost. But now, they're all filled. All 12. Later on, there's about 3,000 that are added that are all filled. In this fellowship, we are all filled. We all have Holy Spirit. Not just some, not just few, not just, you know, the man of God, but all of us. See, this is something new, something newly available that everybody, anybody, can get filled with the Holy Spirit. And as Bruce shared, it's not spirit upon, but it's spirit that's born within. It's not given conditionally, but it's given unconditionally because it's incorruptible seed. So they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And what did they do? They began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. This is the first time in the history of the universe that any human being has spoken in tongues. This is new. God marks out this new administration. He marks out the new birth by speaking in tongues. Now, this verse of Scripture is so terrific. I mentioned earlier that the Bible is the instruction manual for the manifestations, and it is. God tells us in the Word how to operate these manifestations. This one verse of Scripture tells the hungry, seeking soul how to speak in tongues. We know that if you're going to speak in tongues, first you have to get filled with the Holy Spirit, right? You know, Romans 10, 9, and 10, you have to get born again. But if a person is a Christian, if a person is born again of God's Spirit and wants to speak in tongues, this one verse is sufficient enough for them to get information on how to do it. And this is something that I've proven now for many, many years. I had just recently somebody came to me and they wanted to speak in tongues. And so I checked. I said, you know, well, is Jesus Christ your Lord? Yes. You believe God raised him from the dead? Yes. And I knew that the person was born again. So I opened to Acts chapter 2, verse 4. And I said, well, you are filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, if you want to speak in tongues, the second half of the verse tells you how to do it. Because it says, they began to what? Speak. If you're going to speak in tongues, what do you got to do? You got to begin to speak. You know, it's like Fluffy. Yes, speak. Right? You got to speak. You know, the word speak here, I know it's been handled different ways by different people, but I looked it up in one of these, you know, lexical aid thing, and the first thing that it said about this word speak is that it means to make sounds. That's kind of a good definition. You know, you got to begin to make sounds. Right? Now, it says they began to speak with other tongues. Now, that would mean that these are tongues that they didn't know. It's an other tongue than what they had been speaking. Right? I'm speaking English. If I'm going to speak in tongues, it's going to be another tongue besides English. You know, if they spoke Aramaic, it's going to be another tongue besides Aramaic. Okay? Now, how can I speak in another language? Well, the rest of the verse tells you. As the Spirit, God, gives the utterance. In other words, where are the words going to come from? God. The Spirit will give you the utterance. So, what do you have to do when you speak in tongues? You have to begin to speak. You've got to make the sounds. And when you speak, it's going to be in another language than that which you're familiar with. Where's that language going to come from? God will give it to you. One verse of Scripture. I mean, how great and how simple, how clear, how powerful is God's Word? And it works. I've led, you know, since I understood this a number of years ago, I've been able to lead very many people into the manifestation of Holy Spirit. Not by lengthy, but one verse. How about 1 Corinthians 14? I'll show you when it comes to interpretation and prophecy. I had another fellow, this was a few years back, another fellow who had been speaking in tongues for a while. He came to me and he said, I want to learn how to interpret and prophesy. So, first thing I said, well, if we're going to do that, I got to find somebody else to help us because we need to have at least three. So, you know, it's to the church. If you're going to speak in tongues and interpret or prophesy, and there's just one other person there, that's not a church. You know, one soul doth not a church make, right? So, you know, went and got another person, and then we, you know, it taught him. And we reviewed how he learned to speak in tongues. In other words, we reviewed Acts 2:4. And he said, yes, I understand that. I said, well, okay, let's go to 1 Corinthians 14. It says in verse 2, for he that speaks in a tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. For no man understands, howbeit in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. This word speak is that same word that was in Acts 2:4. You know, make sounds. He that speaks in a tongue speaks not unto men, but unto who? God. Because it's prayer, praise to God. And no man understands what he's saying. Okay, so person's got to speak. He's speaking unto God, but he doesn't understand. Right? Then it says, but he that prophesies speaks, same word, makes sounds, unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. So if you're going to prophesy, it's not unto God, it's unto who? Men. And if it's going to be unto men, then it's going to be words that you do understand. Right? If I'm going to speak unto you, it's got to be in English, basically, for you to understand it. But there's one thing between speaking in tongues and prophecy that is the same. You know what it is? You got to speak. You got to make the sounds. Same thing. See, the action is the same. The difference is that you're speaking unto men words that they do understand, words of edification, exhortation, and comfort. Again, where do those words come from? They come from God. They come from the Spirit. So I explained that. I said, you understand how to speak in tongues? Yes. When you speak in tongues, do you understand what you're saying? No. Who are you speaking to? God. When you prophesy, you have to speak, but they will be words that you do understand, and they're words that you will speak unto other believers, unto men. So I understand that. So we spoke in tongues a little bit. And I said, now have a word of prophecy. And the person did. I mean, how much have we handled here? I think 3 verses so far. But look at what God's Word says. Now, there's certainly a lot more in the Word about speaking in tongues. There's a lot more in the Word about prophecy. And this is the manifestation of prophecy, of course. It's to the church. It's unto men. Words of edification, exhortation, and comfort. If you follow this through, it says in verse 4, he that speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he that prophesies edifies the church. I would that ye all spake with tongues, but rather that ye prophesied. For greater is he that prophesies than he that speaks with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. And it goes on to clarify that if you're going to speak in tongues in the church out loud, that it's absolutely essential that you give the, what, interpretation. And that when you speak in tongues and interpret, that it brings about the edification of the church, just like prophecy does. Edification, exhortation, and comfort. So the same mechanics are involved in speaking in tongues as they are involved in interpretation, as they are involved in prophecy, because they're all manifestations of utterance or of speaking. Boy, I just love God's Word. You know, God has given us simple truth that we can all understand, that we can all do. Now, let me ask you a question. As we're going to head into these other manifestations, you think the other 6 are going to be a lot more difficult and a lot more complicated and a lot more... No, the things of God, when they're rightly understood and rightly practiced, become simple and clear. Because otherwise, a lot of us dummies would get left behind. You know, I mean, but God is very clear and able to guide and instruct and teach us so that we know how to operate these manifestations. One question that comes up, one question that you should ask and study and understand is, well, what is the profit of these manifestations? Because remember, there's quite an emphasis given that for to one prophet is word of knowledge, for another prophet is word of wisdom, for another prophet is speaking in tongues. God makes a point that each one of the 9 manifestations have their own unique profit. Well, when you speak in tongues, what's the profit? What's one of the things that speaking in tongues is good for? It edifies you, right? Now, where does it edify you? Does it edify you in your mind? No, because you don't understand what you're saying. Yeah, it has to be in the Spirit. It doesn't edify our physical bodies, because if it did, a lot of us would have better builds than we currently have. That's for sure. No, it edifies you in the inner man. It builds you up spiritually. What else is speaking in tongues good for? Intercession. It's perfect prayer, making intercession for the saints. It's prayer in the Spirit. We can pray for things that we don't understand. You know, how terrific is that? How about worship? You know, to praise God. To speak the wonderful works of God, to magnify God. All of those things are in the category of worship. To be able to worship God via the Spirit in the way that He wants to be worshiped. Tremendous profit to speaking in tongues. Now, a very good question comes up, is if tongues with interpretation and prophecy both are for the edifying of the church, what's the difference in profit? Good question. Well, deserves a good answer, and there is one in 1 Corinthians 14. It says in verse 21, in the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet for all that they will not hear me, saith the Lord. In context, what's this talking about? Well, it's talking about tongues with interpretation in the church. It says, wherefore, tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that do what? Believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them which believe not, but for them which believe. Speaking in tongues has a unique additional profit. Speaking in tongues with interpretation has a unique additional profit that prophecy does not. And verse 22 tells you what it is. What is it? It's a sign to unbelievers. And this word unbelievers doesn't stop with just people who are not born again, but it includes the born again ones who have yet to be instructed in operating the manifestations. You know what a sign is? A sign grabs your attention. You know, a sign points something out. You know, it brings your attention to a significant work wrought. And that's exactly what tongues with interpretation in the church does. Boy, you get some new people coming to fellowship. You know, do you remember the first time you went to fellowship? You know, I remember, you know, sitting, you know, singing the songs, and I didn't really like that. And, you know, people were praying, and I thought, you know, I'd heard people pray before, but I didn't want to have to do it myself, you know. But, you know, just kind of nervous and, you know, sitting there. And then, you know, and then we're praying and then somebody speaks in tongues and interprets and I go, what was that? Remember? You know, I love it. I've run lots of fellowships and I love it when new people come. And then you have tongues with interpretation. And what was that? I remember my stepmother came to fellowship once in her life. And she was sitting on the couch across from me, right next to my wife, Carol. And so I called on Carol to speak in tongues and interpret. And I remember her name was Marilyn. She went like she had been praying. She looked like that. And then as soon as the fellowship's over, the first thing she does, what was that language you just spoke? She wanted to know because it grabbed her attention. It's a sign to unbelievers. Now, if everybody's instructed, you know, we don't need the sign and have all prophecy. But God's Word gives us wonderful instruction that speaking in tongues with interpretation is a sign to unbelievers. This isn't just talking about you go around and speak in tongues out loud to unbelievers and that's the sign. No, it's when they come to a believer's meeting in the church and they hear tongues with interpretation, as the rest of the chapter lays out. Now, let's go to, well, we're already there, 1 Corinthians 14. As Bruce shared with his wonderful analogy of the battery in a car, it's the one gift of Holy Spirit that enables every born-again one to operate 9 manifestations. Every one of us can operate all 9. In fact, God encourages us to operate all 9. You can begin to see that here in 1 Corinthians 14, where it says in verse 5, I would. So when God says, I would, that is His will. That's what He desires. In fact, later on in this same chapter, this is called the commandment of the Lord. I would that ye all spake with what? Tongues. You know, I would ye all. This is the Southern translation, right? I would ye all. Y'all. No, what's it mean? You all So all of us can speak in tongues. Hey, what did all 12 do initially on Pentecost? They all spoke in tongues. God would that all his people spoke in tongues. And then it says, but rather that ye prophesied. Now, some people have misinterpreted this that, well, really, God, it's okay if you speak in tongues, but God really wants you to prophesy, and so speaking in tongues is like lesser. It's not what it's teaching at all. You know, speaking in tongues is terrific. I mean, we talked a little bit about its profit. I mean, prayer and praise to God perfectly via the Spirit. You know, I edify you. It proves to you that you're born again. I mean, terrific, speaking in tongues. But the context here, 1 Corinthians 14, is when the church gets together. I believe I have in your notes, in 1 Corinthians 14, in this one chapter of the Bible, there are 9 uses of the word church and 7 uses of the word edify or edification. Just from that, you can see, well, what is the topic or what's the subject of 1 Corinthians 14? The edification of the church. When the church gets together, God wants everybody to be, what? Edified. So this is in the context of when the church gets together, God would rather have prophecy so that everybody can get blessed by the prophecy. But again, it says, I would that ye all spake with tongues, but rather that ye prophesied. And by the way, that ye is the same ye that we just read before, ye all. I would that ye all prophesied. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret that the church may receive edifying. So in this verse, the same person that just spoke in tongues in the church is to give the, what? Interpretation. I mean, can't you see very clearly that every born-again one can speak in tongues? Because you all are commanded to do it. If in the church you're going to speak in tongues, you should give the interpretation so you can also interpret. Also, God would have us in the church to prophesy. Now, decently and in order, it's not that every time we get together that everybody's going to prophesy. But within the constraints of decency and order, we certainly all can, and God would have us to all do it. Look at Acts chapter 8. Now that every one of us can operate the 9 manifestations perhaps is not new information to any of us, but it is very, very important because the dominant way that these particular evidences of Holy Spirit has been taught is that if you can do it at all, you can only do one of them. And that's what a lot of people believe. That's garbage. God gave us all the same gift. And that enables all of us to operate all 9. As Bruce said, some of us might develop long suits, or some of us might have greater desire to operate some of the manifestations. But make no mistake about it, every one of us can do all 9. And Acts chapter 8 is a good example of a born-again one operating the manifestations. Acts chapter 8, we'll start in verse 5. It says, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Now, this is after the great persecution that arose in Jerusalem around Saul, and the believers were scattered abroad. One of them was Philip, and he went to Samaria. He didn't go to Samaria to hide out. He went to Samaria to preach Christ unto them. In verse 6, and the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he, Philip, what? Did. Now, evidently, that's workings of miracles. And who did the miracles? Philip did. It's your operation of the God-given ability. Philip did the miracles. You know, people oftentimes think, well, God is going to do miracles. And he does. But he's given us in the new birth the ability for us to do miracles. Now, for us to do those miracles, we have to do them by the Spirit of God. We have to do them by operating the manifestations. Philip, to do miracles, did them by revelation. So he operated word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, and it produced the workings of miracles. Okay? And then it goes on, verse 7, it says, "For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them. And many taken with palsies and that were lame were," what? "Healed." Philip operated discerning of spirits. He cast out spirits. The spirits came out. That's a working of miracles. It's also a gift of healing. It says, many taken with palsies and that were lame were what?
Healed.
Isn't this an evident demonstration of Philip operating six manifestations of Holy Spirit? Word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, the manifestation of believing, workings of miracles, gifts of healing. One guy, same guy. This is what's available in the new birth. It's kind of interesting because, you could read these few verses and think, Philip is, some kind of Superman or some, such an exceptional, extraordinary believer that we could never attain to. But later on in this, he had trouble leading the newly born Samaritan believers into speaking in tongues. He had to get a little help from Peter and John coming down from Jerusalem to deal with some problems there that were impeding them from speaking in tongues. What the Word of God records is believers that simply walked with God and how God worked with them. God has given us great abilities in the new birth that every one of us can operate. We can all speak in tongues. In fact, God would that we all speak with tongues. We can all interpret tongues in a believer's meeting. God instructs us. If you're going to speak in tongues in a believer's meeting, give the interpretation. We can all prophesy. We can all hear from God via word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits. And then as we carry out that instruction, oftentimes the result will be the manifestation of believing, workings of miracles, and gifts of healings. Such a great record. Well, I put in, we'll go to John chapter 14 to conclude this particular segment, but I put in your notes on page 3 a comparison of these worship or utterance manifestations to the revelation manifestations. And this should assist us as we head in the class into a detailed study of the revelation manifestations. One of the things that becomes clear is that tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy are manifestations that are constantly available to you. When can you speak in tongues? Anytime you want to, right? Get up in the morning, first thought can be speak in tongues. Start speaking in tongues. You speak in tongues. You could be speaking in tongues as you're hearing Doug teach, right? You speak in tongues, whenever you want to. When can you have a believer's meeting? Well, whenever there's a couple other believers, you can get together and you can have tongues with interpretation and prophecy. It's constantly available. Right, we've got the written instruction from the Word that, when the church gets together, have tongues with interpretation and prophecy because God wants everybody to get edified. Now, there's a distinction between those three manifestations and the revelation manifestations. And this is an important distinction to draw. You're not getting revelation all the time. Some people have gotten tricked on this to think, if I ask God, then whatever pops into my head is revelation. No. Revelation is God's prerogative to give. And He does give it. He gives revelation to His people, but He gives it at His prerogative. He gives it as needed. So there's a great distinction about the availability, if you like, between the utterance manifestations, and the revelation manifestations. The utterance manifestations are ours to utilize according to the Word of God. The revelation manifestations are also ours to operate, but it's God's prerogative to give revelation as needed. The utterance manifestations are applicable to all of us. When we heard those words earlier of tongues with interpretation and prophecy, are those words only for us as we're sitting in the Mahone's house? Or can you take those words with you if you go outside for a smoke break? Or if you, you know, when you go back to your hotel tonight? Those words are applicable at all times. You know, they're not just to a group of people. That's why we can have people here on the telephone that hear the manifestations. They're equally applicable to who? The church. See, to everybody. They're words of edification, exhortation, and comfort. But when you receive revelation, it is specific to a specific circumstance. Well, before we go to John, go back to Acts. Should have stayed there. Acts chapter 8. This is a neat record. This is Philip a little bit later on. Verse 26. It says, "The angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go towards the south unto the way which goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert." That's word of wisdom. He got it from an angel, but that's word of wisdom directing Philip's steps, telling him what to do. "And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet." And then it says, "Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this," what? "Chariot." Now, Philip got very specific direction, didn't he? Go out into Gaza. Go out into the desert. And he gets out there, and this Ethiopian eunuch is driving by in his chariot, and he gets further guidance to go join himself to the chariot. Right? Is this revelation for all of us and how we're to conduct our life today? Are all of us supposed to go out into, you know, book a flight over to the Mideast and go into the desert? No. I mean, it's rather obvious, isn't it, that it's specific for an individual in a specific situation? You know, and it's also a great example because the written word will cover our lives generally. Like, we can read in the written word that we're to preach the gospel to every creature. Right? We've been given the ministry of reconciliation. God would have all men to be saved and come in the knowledge of truth. Go speak the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Preach the word. But Philip's getting now specific guidance in light of that general guidance of how to carry that ministry out. Hey, go talk to this guy. And Philip got up and went out in the desert, sees the Ethiopian eunuch, he speaks to him, the guy gets born again. It's a great record. See, in other words, the utterance manifestations are equally applicable to all of us. When God says, be bold, well, be bold now and be bold tomorrow. You know, when God says He loves us, and when God says, look unto me, you know, that doesn't just stop when you leave the class. You know, be just as true next week as it is today. But go out into Gaza and go join yourself up to this chariot. That's a rather unique, specific guidance, isn't it? That's why you can't take revelation that's given to somebody else and try to apply it in your life. Kind of gets you in the soup. Yeah. As I mentioned, the utterance manifestations are to the church. Revelation is given to an individual, or perhaps there are times, and we'll see some of that a little bit later in the class, where it can be given to more than one person at the same time. How Are the utterance manifestations received? Well, they're simply received by speaking. You know, by making sounds. That's how you begin to speak. And then you can speak in an unknown language, speaking in tongues. You can speak in a language that God gives you that's known by the believers in a believer's meeting that will be words of edification, exhortation, and comfort. Now, how is revelation received? Well, it's received by God's revealing. And when we come back for our next session, we'll see more specifics about how revelation is received. But to conclude this particular teaching, let's go back to John chapter 14. In John chapter 14, in verse 12, it's one of the great truths in God's Word. It says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me," all of us are in that category, right? We all qualify. "He that believes on me, the works that I do, shall he do," what? "Also." Well, what kind of works did Jesus Christ do? Well, Jesus Christ declared God. He made known God's Word. He preached the Word all over Israel. By the Spirit, he walked with God perfectly, walked by revelation. There, you read throughout the Gospels and just the volume of healing that took place, the volume of deliverance that took place, all the great works that Jesus Christ, it's just awesome. It's awe-inspiring. The consistency of his walk with God. But here it says that the works that he did, we shall do also. Why? Because we believe on him. You know, we're going to be learning throughout this class about how we can do the same works that Jesus Christ did. How we can operate the revelation manifestations. How we can operate the manifestation of believing to bring to pass miracles and gifts of healings. That, if this verse just stopped right there, it's just like, whoa. But then it keeps going. And it says, "And greater works than these shall he do." Why? "Because I go unto my Father." Now, when did Jesus Christ go unto his Father? At the ascension. You know, after the ascension of Jesus Christ, it's going to be available to not only do the same works that he did, but what kind of works? Greater. You know, you could just stop and think, well, that's impossible to do anything greater than what Jesus Christ did. But that, this is what he said. Well, what were the things that are in the category of greater works than what Jesus Christ could do? That's right, the new birth. You know, we have the privilege of helping other people get born again. You know, sharing the Word. I've taught people Romans 10, 9, and 10, and before my eyes I've seen them get born again of God's Spirit. Was it difficult on my part to do that? No. It doesn't say harder works. It says greater works. But you know, there's other works that are in this category of greater. And we've seen them. How about speaking in tongues? You know, to be able to worship God perfectly in the way that he wants to be worshipped, to be able to pray to him perfectly in the way that he wants to be prayed to be able to intercede in situations that you don't even understand, to know that you're born again of God's Spirit, you know, that all hell can't stop you from going to heaven. And how about the ability to speak in tongues and interpret in the church so that everybody gets edified, that nobody gets missed. You know, sometimes people have thought that speaking in tongues is sort of down here and that it's, you know, it's easy, it's not that great. But boy, getting revelation or miracles and healings, those are... That's not what this verse says. This says that when you speak in tongues, when you interpret tongues, when you prophesy, that it's greater works than what Jesus Christ could do when he was present upon earth. And boy, as the more and more that we appreciate what God has done and appreciate the abilities we have in the new birth, the more we're thankful to Him for that, and the more consistently we can operate them. So, just so awesome to have this time to look at this great topic in God's Word. So we're going to take a 15-minute break again now, and